Welcome to Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, a podcast for students by students, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
One of the things I've learned is that the most successful people in the business environment that I've worked in are people who have a genuine concern for others.
Welcome to a special new episode of Measuring Success Right. I am the host today, Hunter Muse, a current information systems student here at BYU. Today we welcome a guest you may have heard of, Senator Mitt Romney. We were fortunate to have Senator Romney take time away from his busy schedule to join us on the show. We hope you enjoy it. Senator Mitt Romney was sworn in as Utah's newest senator on January 3rd, 2019. He currently serves on the Foreign Relations, Health, Education, Labor and Pensions, Homeland Security and Government Affairs, and Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committees. He is chairman of the Foreign Relations Subcommittee on Near East, South Asia, Central Asia, and Counterterrorism. Senator Romney is also a member of the Senate National Security Working Group. Before entering public service, he led a successful business career as the co-founder of Bain Capital, a leading investment company, and the turnaround CEO of Bain Company, an international management consulting firm. Prior to serving as the governor of Massachusetts from 2003 to 2007, Senator Romney led the 2002 Salt Lake Organizing Committee for the Winter Olympics and, with a team of volunteers and managers, helped turn the struggling games into a Utah success story. He was a candidate for the 2008 Republican presidential nomination and Republican nominee for president in 2012. Senator Romney earned his bachelor's degree from Brigham Young University and his JD MBA from Harvard University. He is the proud husband to Anne, father to five sons, and grandfather to 24 grandchildren. Okay, well, welcome to the show, Senator Romney. You've been in Congress now for nearly 2 years. We're really interested in what's surprised you most at this point about being a senator.
Well, first of all, people get along a lot better than I had expected, even among Republicans and Democrats. People are very friendly, very collegial. We spend social time with each other. That was probably the biggest surprise. I would also note it's unusual that when it comes to legislating, there's not a lot of connection between Republicans and Democrats. We Republicans meet separately and have our own lunches separately. So we don't have a lot of interaction that way. But nonetheless, on a one-to-one basis, because of the collegiality, we're able to work out some legislation on a bipartisan basis. So perhaps the collegiality is the best and most positive surprise from my time in the Senate.
That's so good to hear in this day and age. So I'm glad to hear that that's going strong in the Senate. You're doing so much important work in the Senate right now, a lot of which is related to COVID. One of the bills you've been working on is the Trust Act. Would you mind sharing the purpose of the act and how the process is going so far in getting it passed?
Well, there are two major purposes. Republicans typically talk about the need for us to finally balance our budget or get it closer to balance because we recognize that adding $1 trillion a year to the national debt is not a good thing. And therefore, we got to balance our budget instead of borrowing an extra trillion every year. At the same time, Republicans and Democrats say, wait a second, what's happening to Social Security, Medicare, our highway trust fund? These trust funds are running out of money. And until we can get them to be stabilized and solvent on a permanent basis, why, we'll have to keep borrowing money to send out our benefits. And so the Trust Act is designed to say, look, let's look at each trust fund and find a way to get it to be fiscally solvent so that we won't have to keep borrowing on the one hand, and so that we can also protect those programs on the other hand. Because no one wants to cut benefits for Social Security or Medicare. Our seniors are not going to see any change in those programs that affect them negatively. But younger people coming along need to understand what the deal is going to be for them, and whether they can count on Social Security and Medicare depends on whether we make sure that the programs are going to be fiscally solvent into the future.
Yeah, that's extremely important. And is that tying into the Relief Act that's coming down the pipe for the COVID economic relief funds?
Well, we hope that the Trust Act can be part of that Relief Act. It's an interesting thing about how the Senate works, which is that individual pieces of legislation rarely are voted on by themselves, but they're usually attached to other pieces of legislation so that you can create a broad coalition of people that are interested in seeing something pass. So the Trust Act, hopefully, will be part of the relief package which comes out of Congress. But of course, when and whether that comes out is another question all on its own.
Yeah, well, we wish you and this act the best of luck in the coming weeks as we make these decisions in the country. And thank you for your service. We've been through so much as a country in the last 4 to 5 months. You know, unpredictable things have happened, obviously. And I'm curious of your perspective. What have you learned throughout these last 4 months?
Well, I think we all recognize that the life that we enjoy, our economy, our health, the nature of our social interactions, all those things are far more fragile and vulnerable to disruption than we would have imagined. I think most of us would have been shocked to hear that America would represent 5% of the population of the world, but that we would end up having 25% of the deaths from a deadly pandemic, that we would have had to shut down our economy in some respects, that millions upon millions of people would lose their jobs. These are things we never anticipated could possibly happen in a modern world. But they happened, and they happened almost without any warning. Suddenly they were upon us, and we were ill-prepared. We didn't do a particularly good job responding to the crisis. And somehow we thought, wait, this is the United States. We can handle anything. We're the best. But when it comes to our response to COVID-19, we're certainly not the best. And these things are upon us in ways we never would have imagined. So I guess it's helpful to remember that we're more vulnerable than we might think. And we rely upon God. We rely upon nature. We rely upon one another in ways that are essential for us to be able to have a future we can plan upon.
Absolutely. There's a lot of work to be done in that realm for sure. Changing gears just a little bit, Senator Romney, you know, I've been a huge fan for many years. Back in 2012, I was a 16-year-old knocking doors for you on in Southern Ohio and in Cincinnati, and I just had a wonderful experience learning about you and your career for many years. And what's amazed me as I've learned about you and your life is not only the success you've had, which has been, you've had so much success, but also how you've recovered from failure. You seem to have an ability to just bounce back and grab a new challenge by the horns. And so I guess my question is, what's your process of overcoming, you know, emotionally and from failure and trying again and getting back at it?
Well, I begin with a perspective that the most important things in my life are my relationship with God and my faith, my church, my relationship with my wife and my family. And those are things which are entirely or nearly entirely in my control. And those are the most important things in my life. My career, and whether that's promotions or pay or election winning, those things are subject to chance to some degree. I have some influence over those things, but not entirely. And you can have ups and downs, but that's not really how you define whether you're being successful or not. So as long as my relationship with my wife and family is good and my relationship with my faith is on a solid foundation, then the most important things in life for me are doing well. So elections and promotions, that's of secondary importance. Wow. And so losing an election, why? No, it's not something that you wanted to have happen. Losing a promotion, likewise, isn't something you hope for, but it's not the end of the world when that's not the most important thing in the world to you. And so for me, I guess disappointments in secular life are something to be expected and not something that most of us are able to avoid.
Yeah. So by focusing on, I guess, defining early on what those most important things are in our lives and things we can't control, like our relationship with, you know, with our faith, with God and our relationship with our family, by focusing on those things first, we can create a kind of stability as, you know, things in our profession and our jobs kind of go up and down, I guess.
And you know, in my case, it's not an intellectual calculation where I say, okay, number one is faith and family and secular things come later. I mean, I don't go through that on an intellectual basis. It's just the way it is. Meaning, you know, if things are right with my wife and family, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And if things were wrong there, if I know people who have suffering in their marriage or suffering with a child or health concerns, those are things which are devastating, can be devastating, and can be very hard to overcome. But, you know, reversals with regards to a job or an election, those are really secondary of their significance. But those that I think really have the most difficult battles to overcome are those where they've had a reversal relating to their relationship with their faith or their connection with their family, or perhaps sickness or trauma in their family.
Yeah, that's a wonderful perspective, especially during this time. I wanted to get your perspective too on lots of students, you know, admire you as a leader, and they themselves want to be leaders in their careers. I wonder if you could share maybe a couple thoughts to students who are beginning their career on your perspective on leadership, on some important lessons that you've learned about that over the years.
Well, I think putting it in perspective is helpful, making sure that we don't define ourselves just by our career, because note that some portion of what happens in your career is out of your control. You may go to a company, a startup, or an existing company that you think has great prospects, and then something happens that blows it all up. Look at people right now that are in the oil industry, the oil field, the services industry, perhaps, or in retail. They were doing very well. Who would have anticipated that oil prices would completely collapse on us and those jobs would disappear? People have started businesses that have now failed as a result of COVID-19. And so people are going to say, well, maybe someone could have predicted that. Well, I certainly didn't. And most people didn't predict COVID-19 or the collapse in our oil prices. And so that's the nature of life in a secular world. There are things that will happen that are out of your control. So I begin with that perspective. Secondly, one of the things I've learned is that the most successful people in the business environment that I've worked in are people who have a genuine concern for others. I've had the chance to get to know Bill Marriott, the chief executive officer for many, many years at Marriott International. He has a caring for individuals in his company and for his customers of such a nature that it distinguishes him from many other leaders. And the entire enterprise, the 170,000 people who wear a Marriott badge every day, in some respects carry on that genuine concern for others that is shown by Bill Marriott himself. So if I were encouraging a young person to think about leadership, there are many aspects of it, but one that I think is awfully important is to develop a genuine concern for the people that you work with, for the people that are your customers, that are the people who help your enterprise as lenders, suppliers, and your own employees. And that kind of genuine concern will result in other people having concern for you, and thereby you're having the ability to help lead them.
Yeah, and yeah, that's powerful. Caring about people is most certainly a powerful leadership principle. I know our time is short, and I wanted to close with a couple questions we ask our guests, but one in particular for this time for you. As we all know, this is a really tough time for students and young professionals, you know, facing an uncertain job market and rapidly changing world. Even though these times are novel for all of us, you know, you've also had your own times of uncertainty and difficulty, and I'm curious what advice you would have for students and recent graduates facing these times.
Well, I wouldn't despair. And I would also note that everybody's circumstances are very, very different. So what may be right for one person is very wrong for someone else. So I don't have a blanket rule other than draw closest to the things that are most important to you, people that you love, the people that are your friends. I've noted throughout my life that the value of friendships has become greater and greater as time has gone on. I appreciate them more and more as time has gone on. And those are things that you can cultivate even during a time of semi-isolation, keeping close to friends, reconnecting with people that you've known from high school or college, connecting with family members that may be physically distant from where you live. Those are relationships that will be rewarding and give you a sense of joy in a way that's hard to find anywhere else. So those are things you can do. With regards to your career, again, those are the career opportunities and options for people are very, very different. Their financial opportunities and circumstances. Are you living at home with your mom and dad? or are you out on your own? That kind of a reality will determine whether you need to take any job you can find right now, mm-hmm. or whether you're going to hold out for something that you think is more ideal. So I can't give advice on jobs right now other than to say, hold on to those things that are most dear and give you the greatest sense of satisfaction.
Hmm. Well, thank you so much. You know, our show is called Measuring Success Right. And as we start our careers and as students, young professionals, we want to make sure that we're measuring the most important things as we go forward. We're putting our ladder against the right goal, I guess. So I'm curious for you and your life and your work in the Senate, like, how do you measure your success?
Well, there are some people who would write their life's history with an adding machine. In other words, they want to see how many promotions they got or how much money they made. I happen to think that that's not the real measure of a successful life. And for me, the real currency in life is the people you love and the people who are your friends. The friendships are the source of a real wealth in life and probably the source of wealth in the life to come. And so having a relationship with deity and your faith and having a number of friends that you keep close, and if you're lucky enough to be married and have children, why, likewise, having relationships with them, that's what the currency of life is all about. Hmm. And if you measure yourself by those things, why, you're fortunate to be measuring things which are largely in your control. Not entirely, but largely in your control. If you measure yourself by promotions and money and elections won, there's a lot of chance associated with that. No harm in trying to be successful in that realm as well, but recognize it's not as important as the things that are enduring. Don't write your life's history with an adding machine. Write it instead with your heart as you think about the people who are most dear to you.
Thank you so much, Senator Romney, for sharing your thoughts. And we know you've got a busy schedule, and we want to make sure you get back to your important work in the Senate. When do you head back to Washington?
Well, we're in session right now, but I've come back to Utah to do some business here with various constituents, met with a number of business leaders as well as political leaders, county commissioners, mayors, and so forth. But I get back for any vote that occurs. They give us 24-hour notice. We can zip back and get a vote. We pretty much are on call whether we're in session or not.
Well, that's amazing. Well, we wish you the best. It's been an honor to have you on the show, and you'll be in our thoughts and prayers during this time. So thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so very much, and go Cougars.
That's right. Thanks. Make sure you subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review or online at marriottstudentreview.org.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect official policy or position of Brigham Young University or The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.